For members only, Golf Smarter number 364, published on January 1, 2013, is being presented to the entire Golf Smarter community, courtesy of Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. It's said that the longest 6 inches in golf are between your ears. Alpha Brain can narrow the gap. The words Golf Smarter get you an additional 10% discount. To learn more, click on the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Golf Clubs Review and Preview, Part 2 with Tom Wishon.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Tom.
Thank you, Fred. It's a pleasure to be here. You know how much I like to talk about the implements with which we play this game.
The implements indeed. You know, we were talking in the last episode about this latest ruling by the USGA and the RNA about the belly putters, the long putters, and keeping them up against the body and the ruling that they make. But we also talked about the ruling that they had in 2010 about the wedges. And I don't know, but for me, it seems like that the USGA's ruling and the RNA's ruling really don't take the average golfer into consideration. It feels like that it's more about what kind of impact it's going to have on the tour than it does about what impact it's going to have on us playing golf a couple times a week or a couple times a month. And that's even in lengthening the golf courses and what it costs to play a round of golf, what it costs to keep a golf course open, which is, you know, more difficult to do than ever before. Are they just ignoring us?
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that this was somewhat tour prompted. You know, I think obviously, you know, since the body anchored putters have been around for, you know, over 25 years up until 2011, they made no real impact. You know, there were only something like five tournaments out of 700 on the PGA Tour since since these putters came out that were won by a player using a body anchor putter. But then, of course, three of the last five majors have been won by players using a belly putter, which is a body anchor putter. And I don't think there's anybody who follows the game seriously who would not agree that this whole movement by the USGA, after doing nothing for 25 years and allowing it and not having it make an impact, that all of a sudden they got concerned. They didn't want to see this form of putting, you know, all of a sudden win tournaments more than it had in the past. And so they needed a way to be able to get rid of it in a manner that wasn't going to be, let's say, controversial, and in a manner that would be easy for them to defend as the protectors of the game. And so that's why the ruling came down to, you know, to say that all of a sudden the USGA is saying that after 600 years, they recognize that hitting a golf ball has to be done so that every shot is hit with the hands and the club completely free of the body. And so now they're saying all the putter has to be a part of that. So, yeah, you know, it's at one sense you can, you know, say that no, they're not really keeping all golfers' well-being or enjoyment of the game in mind, because, you know, here's another one that, you know, that one of the club makers brought up to me, and that's the fact that there's an awful lot of people who went to long putters because their backs are killing them. And, you know, to be able to continue to practice putting a lot, you know, and do that, the long putter or even the belly putter allows them to do that without bending over as far. You know, so in that sense, you know, you can say, well, okay, the USGA is not doing away with the putter. Of course, they're not. You know, they're just saying you can't hold it to your body, you know. So, yeah, you're still going to be able to not have to bend over. Your back's going to be fine and all that. It's just a matter of, can you now adjust to putting by pulling your hand and the end of the club away from your body?
You know? Yeah, you're going to be like, it's going to be using a broom.
It's more like sweeping.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'm a long putter user because I have, you know, I had some real hand and right arm issues, you know, injuries to the nerves there. And I have, you know, actual medically diagnosed bad nerve yips, you know, in my right hand. I cannot physically use a regular conventional putter. And so I've used a long putter since 1986. You know, and during that time, you know, I can tell you, I found that, because I've done a lot of work with it, that I can pull and push putts just like anybody. And when you get me outside 25 feet, I'm guessing. when it comes to distance control, because that type of a putter is very difficult for you to feel the distance in your stroke, as opposed to a conventional putter, at least in my findings it is. But, you know, going out and just hitting some putts now with my long putter, with my upper hand now fully away from the body, the putter wants to move around a little bit more, you know. So I've got to look at, you know, for me personally, if I'm going to follow the rule, you know, I'm going to have to figure out some other way to putt probably, because I can't really keep the putter as stable, you know, without having the end anchored to my body. You know.
So during that time, since 1986, when you adopted the long putter, you've always had it anchored against your body.
Yeah, that was always the technique. I watched last night, they had the Australian Open on, and, you know, Peter Senior, you know, who is a veteran Australian pro, plays on the Champions Tour. They were giving Peter Senior the credit as being the very first to ever develop and use, you know, a long pendulum style putter, and you know, that he was the one who, you know, just, you know, I mean, these putters are long and heavy, so to be able to control them reasonably well, you know, the upper hand kind of touched the chest for that. Now, a lot of people assume that when you do that, that that automatically means that the stroke you make will be more consistent, more repeatable, and more directly online, and that's absolutely not true.
You know, really?
You know, I mean, it is a situation that your lower hand and, you know, the right hand drives the putter through the ball. You know, it isn't like it's a pendulum. You know, pendulum is where you pull it back and then you just let it go and it goes forward under its own momentum. And in that case, yes, you know, that stays on its same path that it's pulled back on. But this long style putter or belly putter or body anchoring like that, you are actually using your hand or your hands to propel those putters to hit the ball, to move that putter through on the stroke. It's not a pendulum in that sense. So because you're using your hand with a long putter or both hands with a belly putter to actually propel the putter to hit the ball, there is absolutely no question that you can drive that putter into a pulled putt, into a pushed putt. You can move the putter around so you hit it off center. You know, the same problems that exist with conventional putters exist with long putters and belly putters that are anchored to the body. You know, with that, it is no guarantee whatsoever. And I think the absolute proof of this is the fact that, you know, from 25, 30 years ago when these things first came out until just last year, they didn't set the world on fire. They only won 5 tournaments on the PGA Tour in some 26 years. I mean, these guys on the tour, you know, one of the things from my days that I had when I used to spend some more time on the tour, you know, with pros and their equipment, no matter how good they are, they're always hunting for something better. There's no question about that. So, you know, when new club trends come along, you see the pros jump and try them immediately. And if they perceive that it helps them to do something a little bit better, they use it, you know, until the next thing that comes along. And putters are unbelievably something that pros change frequently out there. I mean, if you go to a tour event on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practice round day, you know, you'll see the guys from the putter companies, the reps that are out there, you know, from the companies that really push putters on tour. And they have hundreds of putters around their, you know, around their rep bags with this. And the guys are coming over and trying them constantly because it's always this thing of, you know, if I can make it, I'm going to use it. You know, ask regular golfers too. You go into your garage, in your closet, what club do you probably have more of that you've bought in your life as a golfer?
Probably, even in garage sales.
Probably the putter, because you constantly are looking for something to get it in the hole better than what you got right now. You know, so in doing that, over the years, and especially in the last year or so, you know, you've seen, you know, more and more pros have tried belly putters or tried long putters, because if they see somebody win, you know, with this style putter, they go, hey, I want to try that. Well, yeah, a few more of them have stayed with it, but you've seen a lot who've done it for a little while, then went back to their conventional putter, or they putt no better with it. You know, I mean, the statistics of performance are right there, which absolutely say that anchoring the putter to your body in no way brings about an automatic improvement in number of strokes putting or in any form of putting performance. For those people who have used it and who keep it, it either becomes about the only way they can putt reasonably well, you know, and they've stayed with it then, you know, for it. But I have to believe, even though they're giving, you know, they're giving the pros 3 years, or they're giving all of us, that is, 3 years to convert from touching the putter on the, to our body, to using some other method where the end of the putter doesn't touch your body, okay? And most of these guys on tour, you know, I think you're going to see probably the majority of them will still be fine, you know, moving to some other method. But you will see, I would bet the farm, you're going to see a couple, you know, that'll disappear, you know, and they won't be able to continue to play as well and make as much money as they have with the body anchored putter. And it's going to be unfortunate that you're probably going to have a number of golfers who are going to go, see, he's no longer making money out there because that putter was automatically making him putt better, you know, so it should have been banned, you know. And in reality, using a long putter or a belly putter versus a conventional putter, or using a conventional putter instead of a long or a belly, you know, anchored putter, it's no different than custom fitting for your driver or your woods or your wedges or your irons. Some people stroke the ball better with one putter versus another, just like some people hit more fairways with a driver that's, you know, of this length, of that loft, of this shaft and all that, than others do. It's a matter of matching the equipment to the technique of swing, you know, that works best with that piece of equipment. And, you know, so, you know, no, there's absolutely no evidence that would ever come out in any kind of a scientific study that would guarantee you that you can be automatically better if you anchor the end of the putter of the body.
Wow. Well, I'm, you know, we talk about what kind of impact it's going to have on players on the tour. I think that if you're going to really notice it, it'll be at the Champions level, the Champions tour, with the older players.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair consideration to make. Although I did
hear, you talked about bad backs. Yeah.
One of the guys in the inside of the industry made a comment to me the other day. He said, watch, you know, there may be some issues with Tim Clark from South Africa in this putter. And I said, what do you mean? And he said that, you know, Tim Clark supposedly has something wrong, you know, physically wrong with his left elbow, to where when he tries to use a conventional putter, he just can't use it, you know, with this. And so the body anchored long putter that he used, you know, is something that matches well with some kind of, you know, physical problem that he has. So for him to, you know, take this putter away from his body, supposedly it may be physically more difficult for him to putt with. And, you know, and so will he choose to make some kind of an issue? You know, I don't know. This could also just be one of those just great rumors that all just always comes out when something slightly controversial, you know, hits the airwaves.
Yeah, I can see that Tim Clark, you know, he probably has to anchor his left elbow against his body, and that long putter helps him do that. And now if he has to pull it away, it could have a complete change in the way he plays.
Yeah, you never know. I'll tell you, one of the things that, you know, in looking at this whole thing and wondering whether or not it could end up being a can of worms one way or another, I laugh about the possibility of players competing in tournaments where it's raining or cold and they have to pull on all their coats, you know, and rain gear and all this sort of thing. And, you know, coats are never really as form-fitting to the body as are some of the golf shirts today. And so the coat could stick away from your chest. You know, your upper hand on this putter could be touching your coat. And are you going to have a situation where one player comes over and says, hey, here, wait a minute, you're anchoring the putter, you know, because he can't see daylight between the end of the putter and the clothing. You know?
And a guy's going to get disqualified from the tournament because he didn't report himself.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's ugly.
Yeah.
That is really ugly. So what kind of impact on custom club fitting have these two rules, the one with the wedges in 2010 and these, or will it have? Because when we talk about custom club fitting, I think of it more as your irons, your wedges, the woods, driver, that kind of stuff. I don't think of custom club fitting in the putter world as much. Am I missing something?
Well, you know, it is one of those things that most people, even most club makers, spend far, far more time talking to golfers about, you know, their full swing clubs and custom fitting, you know. you know, the logic of putter fitting is to say, yes, it can matter, and it could be more important than any other club in the bag, because after all, don't they tell us that in a, you know, perfect par round of golf, we're supposed to use 36 shots with the woods and irons and wedges to get it to the green and 36 putts to get it in the hole. You know, so arguably you got 13 clubs that are used for half of the shots and one club used for the other half of the shots. So if there's something that could be fit better to you with your putter so that you could be more consistent, wow, that could be, you know, remarkable in terms of its effect on your score and your handicap. And yeah, there are. I mean, there are basically five things we look at in a putter fitting. You know, with that, we've got to get the length right, you know, comfortable for our posture that allows us to have our arms and shoulders moving, you know, freely and consistently each time. You know, we've got to have the lie angle, you know, the angle between the sole and the shaft, so that that putter sits dead flat and touches the middle of the sole without having the toe up or the heel up, because putters have a little bit of loft. You know, a lot of people don't know that. And if you've got that toe up, that face is pointing a little tiny bit to the left of what you think it is because of that misdirection angle due to the lie now being off. And, you know, it's not large, but on the other hand, neither is the hole. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot, you know, to, you know, half degree error, you know, in the face at impact, and you've missed a 6-foot putt, basically. So the lie angle is super important. You know, the loft angle on the putter also. You know, some of us putt with our hands ahead of the putter head when we make contact. Others of us, you know, putt so our hands are directly in line with the putter. There's even a few people who let the putter head pass the hands as they maybe be more wristy with their stroke. And so having the right loft on the putter so that the ball achieves its forward roll smoothly and soon after impact, that's very important. You know, obviously the grip size, you know, so that we're comfortable and can make, you know, more of a repeating stroke. That's a big one right there. And then we have this matter of the overall weight of the putter. How much should the putter weigh? Should we feel the head weight more? Should we have more weight in the grip end? These things are super critical for being able to maintain the best level of fine motor control with our arms and hands as we stroke the ball, you know, stroke the putter. So one of the things that we've seen over the last several years in all of our research and in monitoring what the club fitters are doing out in the field that can help, geez, as much as 80% of all golfers make more putts and be better with the putter is what we're calling putter counterweighting. And this is a matter of putting a heavier amount of weight in the very end of the grip of the putter so that the golfer, in essence, has more weight directly in their hands. Okay, and what we've found in the research is this. If you're a golfer and you suffer from one or more of the following problems, okay, and those would be distance control, leaving it short and hitting it past and having a problem with being consistent with distance, pulling or pushing putts, either direction, one more than the other or both, hitting putts off center. If you have any of those three problems, then what you're suffering from is a lack of fine motor control. Okay, with your arms and hands to be able to very smoothly and precisely move this putter at a slow speed within a very tight tolerance of, you know, of swing path and face angle delivery. So putting more weight in the hands in those cases where you have distance control, pulling and pushing, hitting it off center, you know, putting more weight in the end of the grip helps golfers become more consistent. And the counterweights that fit in there, the ones that work the best, we found for helping golfers with this, are either 60 grams or 80 grams or 100 grams, with 80 grams being the one that seems to, you know, help most golfers with this. Now, there are these little counterweights. Clubmakers can get them. You know, they have a little tool that cuts a hole in the end of your putter grip. The counterweight is dropped down, and with a little hex head wrench, boom, just one quick turn, and it's tightened and locked, and, you know, in the end of your putter. And so you can try one weight, you know, see how it goes. You know, pull that out by loosening it, drop in the next heavier weight, lock it in, hit putts with that. And really and truly, Fred, you know, many of the club makers have reported to us that when they do this with golfers, it's something like 80% of them start putting more consistently.
Wow.
You know, with that.
Wow. That's,
you know,
incredible.
Now, there's been a lot of people who've messed around with things like heavier putter heads, and you've maybe heard some of the players have filled their entire putter shaft with sand so the whole thing could be more heavy. And what those are also, they're all moving towards the same sort of thing, to say that executing the putting stroke is fine motor control. You know, and so that's something that a lot of people just don't have. I'll give you another example of how that works. Let's say if you've ever taken a lightweight stick, take a golf shaft, you know, out of your club or something like that. Reach out and try and turn a light switch on or off with it. Your hands are shaking when you're trying to do that. Now, if you, you know, grab something a lot heavier and you reach out and try to turn the switch on or off, you can do that much easier, because that's a matter of having more weight to help calm down your nerves so you have a little bit better fine motor control.
I had a I hate when I forget these things, but years ago on the podcast, we had a guy from the UK who made these putters that they probably weighed 4 or 5 pounds. And he was absolutely, and he was charging like $500 a putter. He was absolutely convinced this is the key. Very heavy putters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar situation out there. It really is. Hmm. But we have found, you know, the club makers have found that a higher percentage do better with more weight in the hands than more weight at the end of the shaft in the head of the putter.
And what about those big fat grips that we're seeing more and more of?
Same thing with one exception, okay? They are much heavier, so they do the same thing as a counterweight in the end of the putter shaft. But the problem is, what if you as a golfer don't like that big of a feeling in your hands?
Right.
You know, what if you know that you like the feel of a smaller size grip? Okay, well, in that case, yeah. You know, you can use a smaller size grip, but put one of these counterweights into the butt end of the shaft of the putter, and now you've got the heavy weight in your hands, but you've got your hands wrapped around the size of and shape of a grip that feels best to you.
And do you use the fat grips? Do you recommend it for some of your customers? What are your thoughts on them?
On the counterweights?
No, on the fat grips.
Every grip level. There are no rules of the road for grip fitting, whether we're talking about drivers, woods, or putters and like that. What feels good and allows you to keep a secure hold over the club at the least amount of pressure, you know? You don't want your muscles of the hands and forearms to have to be contracted tightly. That's the key. You know, if your muscles in the forearms and hands, you know, are contracted more tightly because you have to grip harder to hold on to the golf club somehow, that's not good, because now your takeaway to start the swing won't be as consistent, you know, you have. So, you know, and this is why, you know, if you know, Mrs. Jones wants to play with a men's 64th oversize because it feels more comfortable, then yes, play with it. Because if it feels more comfortable, you will have less grip pressure, and then you have a chance to be more consistent with your swing and with your release through the ball, you know, with that. And it's the same thing with a putter. You just have to try different sizes and shapes until you come with one that all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and you say, I like that feel. And then you use it, you know. So now we have technology that will tell us, you know, what shaft and what loft and all these things, you know, in fitting. But there is no real scientific technology in grip fitting. It is a matter of each golfer's individual personal preference. And to find it, they have to try different styles and sizes until the light bulb goes off and they say, I like that.
Right. It almost humors me, and it also frustrates me, that sometimes I'll go into some retail locations and they have, you know, and these are golf specific retailers, and they have their screen set up so you can, you know, they can quote unquote custom club fit for you, you know, and then choose from any of the big name manufacturers, going, this is the one that you need, you know, because they say, here's your ball speed, here's your spin rate. You should be playing this ping, right? Because that's got the greatest margin for us. But when I ask, well, tell me about a putter. Which putter should I be looking for? What? And they're like, yeah, whatever you like. And it's like,
yeah, and
it's the best you got.
There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is. Yeah.
Really, that's the best you got, is whatever I like. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I've been doing this for a while, but maybe I shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
What about I keep coming up with different questions because you're so much fun to talk to about this stuff. What about the idea of changing grips? I know that we should be changing the grips on our clubs once a year, at least once a season. But what about the idea of changing the grips on our putters?
Well, you know, putter grips can go slick, sure. You know, a lot of the rubber putter grips are going to be subject to, you know, deterioration in the air and, you know, in atmosphere and sunlight and all that sort of thing. So if you, as a golfer, you know, just sense that the touch on your grip isn't as tacky as you want it to be, or doesn't give you the sensation of holding on as securely as you want it to be, you got to change your grips. You know, so, you know, maybe they're not totally slick, but they're not like they were new. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, if you start noting that maybe you have to just start to increase your grip pressure a little bit to hang on securely at the golf club, you got to change your grips.
And what if you're finding, like, and recently I've noticed that I've been coming up short on my putts. I'm like, maybe I need a new grip, maybe I need more weight. But I've definitely been, and I, you know, I have not been practicing as much as I'd like, but I noticed that I've been coming up short on a lot of putts, too.
Yeah, you know, this is one of these things where it could be several different things, you know, all the way from length to loft to lie angle to the grip size to the weighting of the putter. So this really is one of these things. Now, not all club fitters, you know, have the same kind of awareness and skill level in fitting putters. So, you know, if golfers go out and they hunt and they find a club fitter, you need to give them a call and say, do you specialize in putter fitting? Mm. Do you do a lot of putter fitting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of them don't. You know, a lot of them just kind of forget about it and skip it, if for no other reason than to do a putter fitting, you're only selling one club.
Oh, that's a good point. And don't specialize in that. All right, so what is on the horizon? What do you think is the next revolution or evolution in golf club design? And it's not painting the heads white.
Well, to be honest with you, I wish, you know, beyond anything else, that golfers would discover real professional custom club fitting. Not any of this turn a wrench and adjust the, you know, the face angle or a lie on an adjustable driver that's still 46.5 inches long with the wrong shaft and, you know, that's not fitting. Fitting is going into an expert, you know, who's been trained and has the experience to analyze your swing. You know, take anywhere from an hour to 3 hours, you know, to figure out exactly what each one of the key fitting specifications for every one of your golf clubs needs to be, and then to build them all so they actually have those specifications. You know, I mean, if all of a sudden I could pass a magic wand over all the serious golf, you know, all the golfers of the world, you know, and all of a sudden they've all been custom fit, I would bet the farm that 70 to 75% of them would be doing one or many more things better and playing the game more and enjoying it more.
Mm.
You know, I really believe that based on 30-some years of fitting research and teaching club fitters and all this sort of thing from what I've seen in my career. You know, so, yeah, if you're talking about brand new off, you know, are we going to have driver heads that hit a farther or a better off-center hit? No. We've reached the limit in what science can do within the rules of golf to make clubs so that off the rack they hit the ball better.
I like the way you say the science of technology within the rules of golf. But those rules continue to change. And are they going to allow bigger, stronger, fatter, so we can get more yardage, which is still not going to lower our scores? I mean, you know, we talk a lot about I'd rather have 10 feet closer than 10 yards farther any day of the week.
Yeah, but a lot of people love to hit it further even if they only do it one time out of 10. That is always going to be a tough one. So somebody along the line has got to, you know, be educating the golfers to make them understand that this is a game of percentages. Okay, if I can hit, you know, 5 yards further, but if I can hit 3 more fairways, 3 more greens, get it up and down, you know, 2 more times, if my slice goes from 25 yards to 15 yards, you add it all up and you're a much better player than you were before.
And custom club fitting will help you with that.
Absolutely.
Now, you're sure about that?
I would, yeah. It's not going to work for 100% because some of us already have clubs that fit us pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, that does happen, you know, right there. But that's why I say from 30 years of tutoring and listening and talking and mentoring club fitters, I feel pretty firmly, you know, that the percentage that would improve in some way or another is at 70% or higher.
And what about the club fitters that say, you know, and I've been to a custom club fitter and he said, after looking at your specs and stuff, I'm telling you, I think this line, you know, the Mizuno and whatever's, but, you know, this line of clubs is going to be, it's going to work for you. It's going to save you a bunch of money, but it's going to work really well for you. This is the club you should be playing. Is that legitimate or should it always be customized, custom made from the ground up?
It really needs to be custom made from ground up. It really does, you know, because that way you've got all the 12 key fitting specifications for all 13 woods and irons and then the putter that are all fit to you. You know, not just one or two of the 12 key specs and fit within a narrow range for one or two clubs in the bag. It needs to be all the clubs then. And sure, you start with a driver, but make sure all 12 of those key fitting specs, you know, are fit to you and your swing. Not just one or two, like the way these adjustable drivers do it.
I get a sense you don't think there's a lot of credibility with these adjustable drivers.
Well, the companies are making people think that this is custom fitting, you know, but one of the biggest problems is, you know, when you change the face angle, you change the loft. When you change the loft, you change the face angle. You can't change the two independently of each other. Hmm. You know, and then not only that, but even when you change it, you can only change it 1.5 to 2 degrees, and that might not be enough for you. And not only that, it's still built in on, you know, the head is put on a shaft that's 46.5 inches long, and in no way can that fit the vast majority of the golfers. So, no, it needs to be fit individually, built from scratch, all 12 key fitting specs for each club in the bag. If that happens, you know, 70% or more of the golfers would be amazed at what can happen.
And, of course, the obvious question from that is, but am I going to be spending a lot more money to have
clay? No, most of the reason, you know, you go to these independent custom club fitters, they're starving for business. They don't have people knocking down their door, so they can't charge a ton of money. And as a result, you know, 99% of the fitters you go see, what you're going to pay for that golf club is not going to be more than what you paid for a standard-made OEM brand-name club off the rack in a big golf retail discount store. Same price.
Well, that's huge. I mean, if people were to understand that, and there's all, you know, there's also the emails that I receive from people going, well, I'm just starting the game. I've only been playing 18 months. I've only been playing 2 years. So I'm still not ready to get fit for clubs because I'm just learning how to do my swing. How do you respond to that?
It goes like this. If you're good enough to break 100, custom fitting will help you. That's as simple a way as I can put it. And custom fitting works better for those who make swing mistakes than for those who have really, really good repeatable golf swings. Because the nature of custom fitting is it helps to reduce the effects of certain bad swing moves.
Fabulous. Tom, it's been great speaking with you again. Have a happy holiday season, a happy new year, and let's hope that 2013 is even better than 2012 was for you, and that we will have you back in 2013, because I'm sure there's going to be some ridiculous rule that we need to discuss.
Fred, I always enjoy talking about golf clubs, so thank you for the opportunity. And
My pleasure.
You know, I wish everybody out there, you know, their best golf season ever in 2013.
Let me make a couple of statements about Alpha Brain. Enhanced focus, expanded mental capacity, more fun and less stress on the golf course. Enough said. From the PGA Tour to amateurs like us, golfers around the world are now putting Alpha Brain in their bag. I could go on and on about the immediate effects it had on me during the first round I used it. But I want you to see for yourself that this dietary supplement is having a noticeable impact on extreme sports competitors, increasing the winnings of professional poker players, improving the performance of superstars in the National Football League. As it says on the bottle, Alpha Brain for mental dominance. Click on the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com to learn why Alpha Brain is going to work for you. Use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER and you'll get 10% off all your purchases. Buy the 90-count bottle, and you'll also get additional savings and some gifts for free. I'd like to thank Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs for their support in allowing us to deliver this members-only episode to you, too. The start of 2013 is also the beginning of the 8th year publishing Golf Smarter every week. I'm honored and humbled by your continued support, so let me make this pledge for 2013. My goal is to improve our presentation, increase the content, introduce you to interesting concepts and entertaining people, and enhance your golf life. And for those of you who have yet to join Golf Smarter for members only, hopefully you've had a good taste of what it's like to get a new episode every single week and to see how much really important information you're missing when you only get to hear part one of our two-part interviews. Please join Golf Smarter for members only today at golfsmarter.com. And up next, we kick off the new year with a look back. Comedian Matty Blake returns for his annual and irreverent Matty B Awards for the 2012 PGA Tour season. Do you need a preview? Well, check out the latest Golf Smarter TV video at golfsmarter.com. Here's wishing you and yours a happy, healthy, prosperous, safe, and hole-in-one new year.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.